Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by.
Hey, God, let you know that he's there. He's done something. He's taken the initiative in revealing himself to mankind in so many ways. He revealed himself in creation. The heavens and the earth and man himself are the handiwork of Almighty God. He's revealed himself through the scriptures. Each verse in the Word of God, 66 books of the Bible, is God-breathed, written by man through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And third and preeminently, God has revealed himself in the person and the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is God in the flesh. The invisible, infinite God became visible through Jesus Christ. In Christ was God's plan of salvation unveiled. In Christ, God reconciled the world to himself so that all might be forgiven of sin and restored to the true knowledge of the living God. Creation, the Bible, Jesus Christ himself, and each, it's a revelatory work of Almighty God displayed so that we might know and enjoy the precious gift of eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ. That's some really good news for Wednesday. What in the world is going on? When I was first saved, I was enamored, excited by a guy by the name of Dr. Jerry Falwell of Thomas Road Baptist Church down in Lynchburg and Liberty University. Why? He had a thing called the moral majority. What is that? Moral majority. And then a Donald Trump thing called Make America Great Again. And people in both cases came out of the woodwork in overwhelming numbers. One group that is ignored today, moms and dads in America. And you know, the strangest thing about the debate over parents' roles and rights in their children's education is that we have any kind of debate at all. Many teachers and former teachers say we know firsthand that nothing is more valuable to a classroom, now get this, to a classroom or a school, let alone to individual students, than parental involvement. Well, you wouldn't think so. Of course they should have access to instructional materials that teachers use in the classroom. Well, what a novel idea that is. Of course they should. Of course parents should decide when and how morally complicated issues are introduced into the classroom, if at all. Parents should do that. The idea of public school personnel laying claim to children, independent of and even confidential from mom and dad, that would be laughable if it weren't so scary, so demonic. Good teachers bend over backwards to be transparent with the kids' moms and dads. They want parents to be in the loop, part of the team, helping each student develop the skills necessary to succeed in life. Adults who try to hide what they do with other people's children for hours at a time, they got your kid how many hours a day? By contrast, those people have no business being in the classroom. Yet somehow a large proportion of America's school boards, school administrators, and teachers' unions apparently take as a given this subverted, screwed-up idea that government officials and not mom and dads are the children's primary educators. My friend, admit it. It's just a part of the new America, a flood of evil, and this is not new, really. Like so many other once-respected public institutions, America's schools have been breaking down for years and years. Declining test scores, political correctness attest to just how far public schools have descended into academic mediocrity and woke indoctrination. And it took remote learning during the pandemic. Think it was a God thing. It took remote learning during COVID to alert parents to the dangers and the failings of our school system. And people said, what? And the world is going on. And so many in America say things like teaching transgenderism and CRT, and it shouldn't be. Are we waking up? And are we waking up too late? Well, I had an arresting thought leaving Wichita, flying Dallas, flying Chicago, into Fort Wayne, seeing these thousands of people in these big airports. I wonder how many really bad guys or gals are walking past me right now? And which brings up another point. A New York City police officer was shot Tuesday by a man who was out on the streets despite an extensive criminal background.
Officer Dennis Vargas, 32 years old, shot by the suspect, identified as 25-year-old Ramik Smith after a brief foot race that ended in a shootout. And during a press conference addressing the shooting, New York City Police Commissioner Keyshawn Sewell described Smith as a dangerous criminal who should not have been on the streets of the Bronx or anywhere else in America. We are extremely fortunate, and then that begs the question, so why was he? The mayor of New York, Eric Adams, echoed the sentiment and slammed a system, which, by the way, your party is initiating, slammed the system that allowed a perpetrator with multiple arrests to acquire and carry a weapon on the streets of his city. And the question everybody that the mayor asked it, why wasn't he in jail? Duh. What's happening in business news? Listen very carefully. The world's largest technology companies have shed over, get this, $1 trillion in value in just three trading sessions. Stocks at large have sold off since the Federal Reserve raised its benchmark interest rate Wednesday. But technology has endured more pain than any other sector of our economy, they say. Investors, they now have less interest in what drove business during a strong bull market in recent years, including during the pandemic. And they're now pushing more money towards safer pockets of the market, like Campbell's Soup, General Mills, J.M. Smucker Company. Apple, the world's most valuable public company, has shed $220 billion in value since the close of trading last week. Give an idea what's going on. Microsoft lost $189 billion in value. Tesla's markdown registers $199 billion months after seeing its valuation fall below $1 trillion. Amazon declined $173 billion. Alphabet, Google's umbrella company, worth $123 billion, less than it did last week. Wow. Meanwhile, what's happening with household debt, yours and mine? It nears $16 trillion despite rising rates and inflation. Rampant inflation, rapidly accelerating interest rates. Household borrowing climbed to start 2022 and hit a new record, according to the Federal Reserve. The acceleration in debt overall comes with consumer price inflation up almost 9% over the past year through March, with interest rates surging to multi-year highs as well. Mortgages make up 71% of all household debt, a number that has consistently climbed. Households have originated $8.4 trillion in new mortgage debt since the pandemic began, the result of a relocation trend out of cities and into the burbs, a move that has coincided with a massive rise in prices all over the place. The median home price has soared 30%. Median home price, really? $429,000. Median house price? Nearly a half million. I don't know about that. Really? Really? Why doesn't this surprise me? Over a 10-year period, the National Institutes of Health, agency scientists, and guys like Dr. Anthony Fauci received what? Oh, a total of $350 million in royalty payments from third parties. Third parties. Well, who are the third parties? Pharmaceutical companies. That, according to an independent investigation that obtained government documents through a lawsuit. And some people are saying there could be a potential conflict of interest here. You think? Well, I was watching him on Sunday night, I'm sure where he's coming from. Mark Esper, former Pentagon chief, fired by Donald Trump, now calls, Trump dangerous to democracy. I was wondering as I watched 60 Minutes Sunday night, if he felt so strongly, why did Esper wait until now, or when he has a book being published, to speak out on the evil Trump? You know, it's a pattern of so many ex-Trump aides who suddenly have found their conscience, in some instances found God, when it was their financial interest to do so. And they have every right to tell their story just like you and I, but from John Bolton to Stephanie Grisham, the list goes on and on, including this guy. The revelations seem to be tied to royalty. They engage in various degrees of self-justification and self-criticism as to why they stayed silent. Now I'm speaking out. Show me the money.
Well, it happened yesterday. Not sure I could do it.
Not sure I could do it. A passenger. Absolutely no. Operative word, no. Flying experience, landed a Cessna 208 Caravan with the help of air traffic control in Florida, Miami. Yesterday afternoon, after the pilot had an apparent medical emergency. I've got a serious situation here. That's what he said, I guess. But he was so calm. My pilot is incoherent. I have no idea how to fly an airplane. The unnamed passenger calmly radioed air traffic control from inside the single-engine aircraft. The Fort Pierce air traffic controller asked the passenger his position, to which he said, I have no idea. I see the coast of Florida in front of me. Wouldn't that be something? The controller told the passenger to keep the wings level there and follow the coast and we'll attempt to locate you. My, oh my. The passenger anxiously radioed back 4 minutes later, asking if they found him, explaining he couldn't get his nav screen to turn on. Officials eventually located him off the coast of Boca Raton and guided him to a very safe landing at Palm Beach International Airport, with the controller adding, kudos to that new pilot. I mean, that is unbelievable. And finally, who said that?
Because it is a great point. Imagine being outraged and getting ready to riot over a baby getting to live. Oh, and let me patentize this from Deuteronomy 28:43. Foreigners who live in your land will gain more and more power while you gradually lose yours. They will have money to lend you, but you will have none to lend them, and in the end, they will be your rulers. Hey, how's the weather today in your neck of the woods?
Oh, it's hot in Fort Wayne, and I gotta tell you, it's wonderful. Where's my Bible? Life 101, right after this.
Just joined us, listening to Hello World News, information, comment. Some people say, kind of like Paul Harvey. Christian Paul Harvey with an attitude. Yeah, I think that'll do it.
What in the world is going on? That's what I ask all the time. We need to know what's happening, my friend. And we have been blessed to be able to conduct meetings across this country and overseas, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're getting busier. How can I possibly be getting any busier? We are, with Southwest Radio Church, writing books, counseling. Talked to 4 people from throughout the country yesterday in desperate need of help in the spirit world. Calls from Denver, Colorado, Wichita, Kansas, we were just there, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and some of the surrounding communities here. People need help. Heal the brokenhearted, set the captive free. Let's do it.
I think one reason God has blessed so in our revival meetings across the country, whether it's a day or a week, is the fact that we have honed in on 2 key areas in America today. One has to do with the media and how subtle they are or how dramatic they are in their attacks on Christianity. Sure. And we've been able to share that because we've had a lifetime in it. And in the second area is when God allowed demons to attack the Patton family big time. My, oh my, it turned our world upside down. Wanted to know what the Word of God had to say and how they can attack us. God has blessed in a mighty way. We have seen great responses. One call recently from Tennessee said their whole area, church and area, had been changed as a result of that spirit world message delivered. Enough said. Get in touch, my friend. GregPatton.com. GregPatton.com. GregPatten. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 15:7, but you be strong and do not lose courage, for there is a reward for your work. Amen. You know, courage is a quality of mind, a spirit that enables us to face those dangers that are out there, obstacles, very challenges of life with a sense of fearlessness and calmness and firmness. Does that describe you? It takes courage to be obedient to Almighty God. One of the ways God molds us into the image of His Son is to allow situations to come into our lives that challenge our faith, to test our very obedience. You may be facing a tremendous challenge on the job, in your family there, in your marriage, some relationship. You may even be thinking of giving up, walking away. But I'm going to tell you, that's not God's best for you. He wants you to face the challenges of life with surety and trust Him and His ability. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, the nation of Israel is an excellent example of how God works in the lives of His people. After the Exodus, Moses led the people to the edge of the Promised Land, and God gave that to Abraham, of course, Genesis 17, 1 through 9. 12 men, selected to go into the land and return a report about the inhabitants there, the terrain, give us an update. However, the spies' report was in strong opposition. We're not going forward. Only two of them, Joshua and Caleb, remained convinced that God would give them a victory. God had pledged the land to them, but their faith waned in the sight of the people living there and those imposing city walls. That's human nature. That's you. That's me. Their focus blurred at the very thought of the battle, and their strength failed because they looked at circumstances. That's the key to what I'm telling you today. They looked at circumstances more than God's ability. They feared. So we go to Kadesh Barnea and find out that fear scored a mighty victory there. God's not given you a spirit of fear. No, He hasn't. Most of us know the story. Israel refused to enter the land. Fear overcame their hearts. They rebelled against Moses, Numbers 13. They stood on the threshold of victory but failed to meet the challenge. Their only responsibility was to go in and claim what God said they could have provided for them. They sank back in disobedience. The consequences of their decision followed them for the next 40 years. Except for Joshua and Caleb, every man over 20 perished in the wilderness. God's challenges are not always easy, are they? Often they're very difficult because they require something from us. In Israel's case, it was obedience to the call of God. Did you get it? Many times the very nature of God's command is set for one single purpose: to stretch your faith as you place your trust in Almighty God. That's a key. You never lose by obeying God. You never win by disobeying God. I remember running out of the locker room at our home basketball games there in Roanoke, Indiana. There it was, a little plaque over the door. Winners never quit. Quitters never win. The key to an overcoming faith is found in the first chapter of Joshua as God addresses the people through His servant Joshua. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given to you. Just as I spoke to Moses from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong, courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do all according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. And this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. What good advice for you and me today. Meditate on it day and night, you betcha, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Is the question. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Oh, this is so good and so exciting. The secret of their ability to meet the challenge was learning to focus on God and His Word, not on circumstances. When I talk about my demon message, I say focus on God, glance at the devil now and then. The inhabitants of the land were still Israel's bitter enemies. They were just as strong and vicious as they were 40 years before. However, this time, God's people refused to bow to that fear and crossed the Jordan River and obtained God's inheritance. The Christian walk today, my friend, is more than lip service. Talk is cheap. If you're willing to allow God to work in your life, then he will enable you to face whatever problem fearlessly, boldly, bravely, calmly, and victoriously with great victory in Jesus. When you only focus on the challenge, what's going on, you then begin to falter, my friend. Ask questions like, can I really do this? What's going to happen if I fail? Will I be able to make it through? God never wants you to be careless in your actions. He does, however, call you to trust him and his ability. And when we realize the full scope of the challenge that faced Israel, we discover their deep need for faith in God. What's that thing going on you're facing in your life today? Financial? Or does it have something to do with your children? Maybe your husband or wife? Maybe an in-law? Whatever it is, remember, human wisdom is not the answer. God alone will guide you safely through every trial if you'll commit yourself to him completely and put your trust in his word and his ability. I keep saying that. Don't ever let anyone tell you the Bible is not valid for the problems and trials today. It's as up-to-date as any newspaper or blog or anything you read on the internet today. Every principle God gives us through his word is just as relevant today as it was for Joshua then. Oh, times change, but the word of God does not. It's eternally alive. You have the ability to meet victoriously that thing, whatever it is, because it's God's best for you. You may not get the promotion every time or stand in the spotlight every time, but when you trust God, you will always be his winner. This is the promise that motivated Joshua and the people of Israel, and it's the promise you can claim today. Listen, God's strategy was very simple. He told the people to meditate on his word, not on that wall surrounding Jericho, not on the people shouting threats over the wall or the vastness of the land. When you face difficulties and challenges, learn to recall the promises of God's word, just like Israel. You have to get into his word, and through prayer, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in the principles and promises that speak specifically to your situation today. What's going on there? On the eve of the battle, Joshua sensed the presence of someone behind him. He turned to see a man unlike any man he had ever seen before, Joshua 5, Joshua 6. In Joshua's moment of deepest need, God himself came to him. The warrior that met with Joshua to go over the details of the battle was the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the same warrior that will meet with you today if you will make yourself available to him. Perhaps you have a difficult decision to make, one that could change your life forever. Everything within you says trust God and obey him. The one thing you can count on is the same thing that fed the faith and the courage of Joshua. God will never fail you. He will always lead you to personal spiritual growth and increased faith. Are you willing to step out in obedience today? Meet whatever God has allowed to challenge your life? Trust him for the outcome? Tell the Lord that you will follow him in obedience. Ask him for his will and that it be very clear to you. And here's the key. He may choose to speak through a friend today, a passage of scripture, someone on the radio, or directly to your heart. When you answer his call in obedience, he will always respond with a blessing. And finally, it could go like this at a time if Jesus were going to feed the 5,000 today. People would be saying, well, I can't eat that. I'm vegan. Has that fish been tested for mercury? Is that bread gluten-free? And as the pastor was doing the wedding vows, he said to the man, sir, you're supposed to say, I do, not, I'll try. I've had the same for a Wednesday. Thank you much for being here every day for Hello World. It's great. Thank you for your love, your support, your prayers, all that good stuff. Join me on Facebook, Greg, G-R-E-G Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Go to gregpatton.com for more information all about us. Tomorrow, same time, same place. God bless.